Thank you, as usual, to Michelle and to Liora for this always incredible spread. Okay, so the topic we're going to take up tonight. So last year we were supposed to have three shiurim here, and we ended up having two. So I had this ready for the third shiur, and it's just been sitting there. So now we get a chance to do it. I've done it since then. You know, last minute I was invited to be at the medical ethics conference for Torah in Motion to give the non-medical slot. So I ended up giving this because I had it ready. Now I get to give it here. So the topic I want to take up is the question of internet commerce on Shabbos, leaving websites open for business on Shabbos. And that, you know, seemingly somewhat simple question involves at least four or five very complicated halachic questions. So we're going to try to tackle as many of them as we can. So before we even get into them, what issues do you think, right, are involved from the vantage point of, from anybody? Tell me what issues that could be involved in leaving a website open for Shabbos, right?
Making money.
Commerce.
Okay. Money, yes. So making what, right? So what's the problem with making money?
For you.
What?
Your kalim doing malacha,
right,
for
so
you.
One, so maybe a problem that your kalim are doing malacha for you, even though we paskin, as we'll see, we paskin like Hillel, that's not a problem, at least not deraisa. Making money. So what's making money? That could mean one of two things. I'm not sure what you mean. Both of them are true, but I want to know which one you mean. Right? Making money. So one is kar shabbos. So the problem of literally just making money. Now the other is business. Right? Doing business on Shabbos is also a problem. Right? What other problems could there be? And this is all from the vantage point. Now, so far we've assumed that what are we talking about? You leave your website open for Shabbos, and who's doing the business, let's say? Who's buying?
A goy.
A goy, right? So far it's a goy, so it's a problem of maybe you're considered doing work on Shabbos because he's buying from you, or it's considered that you're making money because the sale is going through. But what happened? Well, what other problems?
Where in the world?
Right now, you could be a problem. Right now, you could get into the question of what counts as Shabbos. Do you have to worry about, right, if someone else is in a place where it's Shabbos and you're not?
Is it an issue if it's a Jew?
So what issues would that raise? It obviously would raise even more questions. What issues would that raise?
With
Neiver, right? The fact that you're possibly allowing someone to violate Nisr. Now, the first three categories presumably are less problematic if it's not Shabbos where you are. And this one might depend on if it's Shabbos where the transaction is happening. Right? It may not be Shabbos for you anymore, but if you see that, you know, business is going through on Shabbos, right, that can be a problem.
Well, when does the kinyan actually happen?
So now in order to figure out whether there's a problem, we have to figure out when did the transaction even happen, and does it matter? Right? I mean, it obviously matters, but right, what counts as doing business on Shabbos, such that a website would even, right?
Yeah.
If
you're worried about
it.
No, Michelle is telling me to come, and maybe I'll fulfill you this.
If you're worried about it, you must know the answer.
You're
the one
who runs the website
on Friday.
Right, meaning if you're worried about Lifnei Iver, you might be worried about, right, if it's not Shabbos for you, but if it's Shabbos for Jews somewhere else, yeah. Right? Right now, you know, the famous way of starting this is, you know, there's one company that is known worldwide for the fact that they close, which is
B&H.
Right? B&H. Now the truth is B&H doesn't just close on Shabbos, doesn't just close on Yom Tov, it closes all Chol Moed. Why? There's no halachic reason per se for that. You're allowed to be, it could be open in Chol Moed, especially if you think it's a Hefzid Merubah, right? You're losing a week work of business. But they're very very devout Hasidim. And the owners say, well, even if it's not Asur on Chol Moed, I can find a head there because of Esa Meruba. Chazal say that any business you do on Chol Moed, ain't a roa semen bracha, you won't be blessed for it, and we believe that. Now, it seems to have worked for them. You know how much money they bring in? Do you know? You have any idea? I did not know how much money they bring in.
Multi-billion dollars.
They bring in
1,000 employees.
They have 1,500. Last I checked, they have 1,500 employees, and they bring in $1.5 billion a year. Right? Because mostly not from their store. Their store is just their showpiece. Their main business is military contracts. Right? That's their real money. I found this out only. My father was in banking for many, many years, and then after he left banking, right, he moved to the IT department in B&H. I was like, why is there an IT department? Because it's a multi-billion dollar company, and they're dealing with these huge, huge sales, and so they have all, you know, people working in computers and lawyers and everyone working behind the scenes. Now, what other problems could there be? Right, this is most of them. Right, Marzahn. Right, the last one really is Marzahn. Even if it's not technically a problem, it might look bad. Right, it might look bad from a halachic standpoint. Right, which is a bit amorphous. But Poskim will bring it up.
If it's mutter, then it can't look bad.
Well, maybe, right? Because it could be that it would be mutter if you did it in a certain way. Maybe they won't know you're doing it a certain way, right? It could be all types of things. And by Marzahn, I mean generally. Marzahn, Chshad, the Rav Moshe distinguishes. What?
Very cynical about that one.
Okay, I'm just saying.
A lot of Marzahns in this world today.
I'm just saying the theoretical issues. I'm not. We haven't yet tried to pin anything down. And then there are some other sort of amorphous things that people bring up, like Zilzul Shabbos, right? Even if it's not technically usher, it's just, you know, it's just, it's, you know. Amorphous things are amorphous. That's their nature. Okay. So let's start with, I think, what is the first, I've heard many people give shir on this in different versions. Some of them start with Lifnei Iver, which seems to me a bit odd. Let's start with what I think is the first question is, you know, business on Shabbos, right? That's, I think, where we have to start. And we're going to Sudar, okay? There's a prohibition to do business on Shabbos. Why is there a prohibition to do business on Shabbos? So there's two answers to that question.
You may write it down.
Right, so the reason that the Gemara brings is because you might write it down, that it's rabbinic. You can't do business on Shabbos, purely rabbinic, right? You look at source 1 and 2, Shulchan Aruch summarizes it, right? In Konin, B'Shabbos, Kinyan, Sudar, where you can't even acquire something with a symbolic Kinyan, V'im kanu, and if you do, afal pi sha'asu aveira, even though it was forbidden and you violated a sin, so kanu, it's acquired. He's just bringing, right, the summary of the sugya. I gave the key line though in number 2, where the Gemara says, v'kulu taim amai, why are all these things forbidden? G'zeira shema yichtov, because you might come to write. And therefore, we don't let you get involved in business because you might write. Now, that's really only half the answer. That's the answer the Gemara gives. But there is another answer to the question, which is what the Ramban says. And the Ramban says, it's very nice to say it's rabbinic, but that's not really true. That's only half true. Because there's two parts to the prohibitions of Shabbos. One of them is the malachot, right? The 39 malachot, you can't do the things you get, right, that carry with it the capital punishment. But, let's skip for a moment to number 6, right? The Torah refers to Shabbos as well, and Yom Tov as well, with this word, Shabbaton, right? Daber b'nei Yisrael, this is in the context of Rosh Hashanah, Alimor b'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'chal ha-chodesh yelochem Shabbaton. On Rosh Hashanah, you will have a Shabbaton, a rest. Now, what's a rest? So the Ramban says in 7, Saveinu min ha-Torah liot lanu minucha b'yom tov, afilu midvarim she'enam nolacha. The Torah commanded us that we should have rest on Yom Tov, even from those things which are not malacha. The Torah didn't want us to spend all day being busy, weighing things and measuring things, weighing fruit, to fill up our barrels with wine, right, to move things from one part of the house to the other. And if you have a city that, you know, will make it easy, has an eruv, meaning has a wall around it, which is an unquestionable eruv, you omsim ala chamarim, right? Then you could even put things on your animals, and you could carry your loads across the city. Af yayin teinim v'chol masay aviu biyom tov v'yashuk malei l'kol mekach u'memkar, and business will be as usual. V'tiyeh chanut p'tucha, the store will be open. Achenvani makif, right? The store will be, the creditor will be collecting his dues. Hashulchanim hashulchanam. The money changers will be at their money changing tables. Zuvim lifnehem, the money in front of them. Yuapoalim mashkimin lamalachtan. People will get up for work. Umaskirin asmam kechol. Lidvarim elu chayot ben. People will be hiring themselves out for work. Vuhu tru hayamim tovim haelu. Vafilu hashabbat atzmash. Vachol zein mehem mishum melacha. And you might think that all this is permitted because there's no melacha violation. Lakach amra Torah Shabbaton. So the Torah then tells you that in addition to the technical violations of Malachot, there is a biblical obligation, not rabbinic, a biblical obligation to treat Shabbos as Shabbos. Right? That it, and that position is echoed in the Rambam as well. So why does Gemara say Gzeres HaMichtov? So, you know, that's a bit unclear. I'll give one answer, which I think is the simplest, is that what the Ramban is describing is that in order, or this is, this is the simplest, it's what Rav Yaakov Ariel suggests. Rav Yaakov Ariel says, maybe what the Ramban means is if I went to work every Shabbos, and I worked all Shabbos, right? So that would be a violation of the D'Oraisa, because I really don't have Shabbos. But let's say I had one business deal once that I needed to do, right? It took 10 minutes, you know, I did it, you know, instead of going to the Kiddush Club, I went there, right? I'm already not doing what I'm supposed to, but fine, I go and I do my business, I'll come back to shul, right? Whatever it is, or you do it in the middle of the afternoon, I don't know, right? You still have a Shabbos experience, right? So maybe that wouldn't be the biblical violation. So therefore, Chazal had to come and add a rabbinic level and say, but you can't even do it once, because if you do it once, Gzeres HaMichtov. So that's how he understands it, right? That a single act of business may only be a rabbinic violation, but perpetual acts of business, right, consistently treating Shabbos as a weekday would be a violation of Shabbaton. I'm not sure that's what the Ramban says, but let's assume that's what he says. Okay. But business, therefore, is, at the very least, a single act of business might be a violation of Shabbaton. At the very least, it's a rabbinic obligation, Gzeres HaMichtov, because you might come to write. Okay. But let me ask you. When I say that you can't do business on Shabbos, I could mean one of two things. Right? Because, as we know, in every transaction, right, there's two parts of transaction. In right, in sort of technical halachic terms, we would call it a masa kinyan and a chalot kinyan or a chalos kinyan, right? The act of acquisition and the result, right? But realistically, we all know this happens, right? You sign a contract, you predate it, right? You signed it on Thursday, it takes effect on Sunday. So the act of signing, right, the formal signing was on Thursday, but the actual, right, the actual acquisition takes place on Sunday, right? This is standard. You can do this, right? You can post date a document. It's not a big deal, right? We all know that you can do this. Or, you know, we agree. You will, you know, I'll start renting my property, you know, whatever, the first of the next month, right? But we shake on it now, whatever binding level that has, but fine. We all understand that you can, you know, you can commit to a deal and it will take effect later. So, on Shabbos, when we say you can't do business, which one of those do we mean? Right? The first, right, the action, the result, or both? So, I think what we clearly mean, for sure we mean one of them. I don't think, right, there are three technical possibilities. I think only two of them are reasonable. Right? I think no one will tell you that you can do the act of kinyan as long as it doesn't take effect on Shabbos, right? I mean, that would be ridiculous, right? What would be the point? Right? If the whole decree was Gzeres HaMichtov, you might come to write. So what does that help you? Right? We'll do the signing on Shabbos and it'll take effect on Sunday, right? That would be meaningless, right? The point is the act of acquisition is what's problematic. That's when you're most likely to write things down. So that can't be.
What is the acquisition of? If I hire you for a service,
right, so let's, well,
I pay you, so is there an acquisition of something at that time, or do you have to perform?
Right, so maybe, because it depends on what type of worker you are, there might be, there might not be, it depends on Poel or Socher, right, so it's a bit complicated. Let's take a, you know, easy, right, I'm buying an object, okay, right, so, you know, buy a house, whatever it is, right, the act is the signing of the deed, right, the effect is I now own the house, right, that's pretty easy, right, workers are much more complicated, because a worker can always back out, but only if he is a certain, right, only if he's a poel, not if he's a kaplan.
You're dealing with a
right, so we haven't even,
so
right,
it's completely different.
Right, no, we're talking about metalplin, right? We're talking about metalplin.
Yeah, you can, metalplin.
Okay,
can
we're talking, stuff. Right, so we're talking about metalplin, fine. You know, however, you're Konis metalplin, right, I mean, normally it's one of the three kinyanim, but okay, fine. We're Konis, however we're doing it, through Situmta, through whatever.
Presumably you're being Konis the Ketzef, and presumably the Ketzef is not coming into my bank account until the banks are open on Monday morning, so we should be okay.
Well, so we haven't even gotten to that. So what's even the problem, right?
Right.
So first we have to ask the question, right? What is the problem, right? It clearly seems to be the act of Kenyan, right? What about the result? Right? What about the result takes effect on Shabbos? The act doesn't, right? So what's the halacha? So this is a machlokas achronim. Now why? Right. So why is it important for e-commerce? So, right. This can cut in both ways. Right. Let's say someone did the right. If someone did the business before Shabbos, right, but it takes effect on Shabbos, right. So then, if you think that it's a problem to have the result on Shabbos, then I should have to close my business, I don't know, right? However many hours before Shabbos, I need to close it so that nothing takes effect on Shabbos.
What do you mean, when the delivery is
well, we also have to figure out, we have to do a lot of things, right? First, we're going to have to define what does it even mean, right? What is the kinyan and when does it take effect, right? But we also got to figure out which of those is even usher, right? We have to figure out what the kinyan is and what part of it is usher to happen on Shabbos and what is happening on Shabbos. And yes, there's so many, right? Right, and there's so many problems, right? So many posts can already say exactly what you're saying, right? Is wait a second, right? So many posts can say, well, what happens if? Right, the money comes in only after Shabbos, right? It was paid by credit card. Right, what happens if you don't close your website, right? You just say that all sales will, you know, you'll get a confirmation only Saturday night. So, you know, they're just registering that this, you know, the transaction will happen, doesn't happen until Motzei Shabbos. The money doesn't come in until Motzei Shabbos. It doesn't get shipped to Motzei Shabbos, right? So it might be that nothing really happened, right? All that happened was that, you know, you initiated the beginning of a
transaction.
We haven't even done it yet, right?
You're also not even aware of it.
You're not aware.
There's no Xerish and Yitzhov if you're not.
Right, and then maybe, right? So here, right, so this is the big problem with internet commerce, is that many posts can say, well, if it's a problem of a masa, right, there may not be a masa, you're not doing anything, it's passive. The only thing that might be usur is if you think that a halos kinyan can happen, that the acquisition can happen, so then maybe the acquisition is happening. Now, right, if you think there's no action, and you push the acquisition to Motzei Shabbos, right, I mean, you don't close your website, you just say, you know, nothing happens over the weekend, right, so then you should theoretically solve all problems because there's no masa, right? And the Tosa doesn't even happen until later. All he did was he logged into the website, bought something, you know, and whatever he got, right? He's not even.
What if the order is placed on Friday and the delivery happens on, it's shipped on Friday, delivers on Shabbos, the kinyan is on Shabbos? That's
correct. I mean, that would be.
Well, that's the question. When the kinyan?
Right.
Well, maybe the sale on Shabbos. Like,
right. So
talking about sale on Shabbos.
Right. So even.
You're unaware, but even thinking the sale is on Friday, you're aware of it, or even on Tuesday, it's really shipping to OBC. It's 3 days, and you're going to deliver on
Shabbos. So what happens in your?
Is your receipt of the money?
Wait, you don't know if you want.
No. We'll find out at the end whether your website's mutter, but let's first.
We saw toner guys on online, and there are, you know, Google ads and Facebook ads and Instagram ads that go on all the time. Now, they do say that if you shut your Google campaign off, there might be negative impacts to your campaign, to your advertising. I'm just curious to hear, like, at what point somebody buys something on Shabbos, it's not getting shipped till Monday, and the money's not even going into the bank account.
Right, and as we'll see, that's what a lot of posts will pick up on. There is an exception, though. There's one real, very serious exception where none of these heterim will apply. Right, we haven't even gotten to the heterim, but none of these excuses will apply. Right, none of these right way that which is if someone sells music. Right, where what you're buying is a download.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because then everything happens on Shabbos. As soon as you pay the money, right, they can download it, and the kinyan's done.
The seller may not have downloaded the software.
But that may not matter because what's a kinyan? Right, kinyan's an acquisition. The money may not matter. Right, you've given it to him. So that's another question. Right, is he even called a kinyan? But the fact is, right, as Rav Asher Weiss, to quote Rav Asher Weiss, right. Of course, that's a kinyan. Of course, that exists. As he said, right? I tend to agree with Rusher Weiss here. I understand it's a machlokas, but I really understand Rusher Weiss. Rusher Weiss, the way he says it as follows. He said, how can you tell me that things like intellectual property and all these things are not real, that you're not being kona, that you're not owned and you're not buying? As he said, if I asked you, what's worth more money, an apple or Apple stock, right? Which would you rather own? Right? We all understand you'd rather own Apple, right? The stock. He says, so how can you tell me in good faith, right, that you don't think that exists? Right? That that's not buying something.
Because Apple doesn't necessarily issue a product. They issue a license to use something that belongs to them.
Correct.
They're not necessarily getting...
But that's the point. But we all recognize that has monetary value. So how can you not say that exists? Now, for Shabbos, it may not matter whether that's, you know...
No, but it's not necessarily a sale.
Why not? Well, so first of all, the Achronim say you can't even give gifts on Shabbos. You can't, right? Right? Meaning it's not about sale. It's about acquisition. It's a kinyan, right? Kinyan is a bit,
Well, you're not
doing it in the
Sphere. A who's renting something on Shabbos.
You can't do that. You can't initiate a rental on Shabbos.
Okay, so that's the question. What is the, where is the kinyan by a renter?
So it's the beginning. Well,
is it by when he gives the money? Is it when he actually takes
Well, they pay in the first of the month. The kinyan happens when you commit.
I'm renting.
Let's say buy. Let's say buy. Why would they rent? Take it back to the old days, right? You're buying a donkey. A guy's buying a donkey from you. He's paid you on Friday, and in your mind, it's done. And he comes on Shabbos to pick up the donkey and take it out of your field. Is that allowed or not allowed? I mean, do you say...
So again,
the donkey, why can't he...
Trying to define when a kidney happens is difficult, but like this is the question. Why do this is why we need to figure out, when we say, right... Like I said, what we need to do is figure out two things. One is, when is the kinyan happening? And two, what part of the kinyan is even usher on Shabbos, right?
Another example, quickly, a lawyer who has a website up, and they're running advertising. They're not actually acquiring this client, but somebody that's filling out a free consultation request form, right? So you're getting the email.
Right, so that presumably would not be a problem with this. That might be some of the other problems of whatever, right? Maybe listen Aver, maybe.
Or you have an
answering service.
I have an answering service, actually. I never thought about it. Where somebody goes on my website and they immediately start talking to them and saying, what can I do for you? And then they take all their information and they forward it to me.
Right. So again, all these things are within this. You know, again, that's probably not a problem with Kenyan, but it might be, you know, other. Okay. So let's just set out the halachic issues. Okay. So what part? So as we said, there are many reasons to believe that often the kinyan itself is not happening on Shabbos, right? Especially if you're not processing it until after Shabbos, right? So the kinyan may not be happening on Shabbos. So let's assume you're not processing on Shabbos. You're not selling a download of music. Okay, fine. You're selling something which everyone understands is not shipping until after the weekend, might not even be processed after the weekend. Maybe they get a confirmation email now. Maybe they get it on Monday morning. I don't care, right? Let's assume, right? Let's make it easy, right? Everything's happening on Monday, okay? So now, the Masek Inyan, right? Let's look at the halachic issues, right? What's usher? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked this question. Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, "Is it a problem just to do a Masek Inyan? Is it a problem? There's a if there's a result." So he says as follows: "V'kaimamad the kaimelan in kanim b'Shabbos. When we say that you can't buy on Shabbos, what happens in Vachal Ochevitz be'erev Shabbos? This verse 3." Let's say I did the active acquisition before Shabbos. So there's no problem. But I said you won't acquire it till tomorrow. The b'Shabbos nigmar akinyan, and therefore it'll be finished on Shabbos. Right, or I said it'll be acquired for you if you do such and such. Can you keep the condition on Shabbos? Right. Because he says, what are you going to say? You could say both cases are permitted. Why? Right? You could say that in the first one, you're not doing an act on Shabbos, and the second one, you're just fulfilling it tonight. Or you could say they're both aser. One, because you finished the acquisition on Shabbos, or because you're causing the end of a kinyan, or in one direction or the other direction, right? What is it? So he tries to bring a few proofs. We'll just do his last proof. Right? If you go look after the ellipsis, his proof is as follows. He says, the Gemara says that a Kohen Gadol always on Yom Kippur needs to be married. So what does he do to make sure that he'll be married even if his wife passes away in Yom Kippur? He has a backup wife, right? Fine. Okay. So the Yerushalmi asked
this happens when I'm afraid.
What? Ah, so the Yerushalmi asks.
Why
is
the man only?
So the Yerushalmi asks as follows. Yerushalmi says, okay, but how is he allowed to marry her on Shabbos? On Yom Kippur, rather, right? You're not allowed to do any kinyan, right? Kinyan doesn't really mean buy. It means any sort of solemnization of a deal, right? right, which can be, right, can mean monetary, can be kiddushin, can be a whole bunch of things, right? So kiddushin is a kinyan. We'll leave it at that. Okay? So the Yerushalmi says, well, it's fine, because they're in the Mikdash, and the Mikdash ain't shvus b'mikdash. And since it's only a derabanan, right, to not do a kinyan, so they're allowed to get married in Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, well, wait a second, I have an easier solution. Why don't you just, right, marry her al tanai, that if his first wife dies, that you'll be married on Yom Kippur, right? So then you did the maaseh before, right? This is like classic achronish, right? Why didn't you just say that? So he says, oh, you see, that must not solve the problem, right? Because it must be the fact that they would become married on Shabbos is also problematic, which tells you that it's not only forbidden to do the act of kinyan on Shabbos, it's even, right, it's a chalos for a kinyan to take effect on Shabbos, right? So therefore, some people say, well, wait a second, if you paskin like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so, right, if you push, right, if you push everything to be processed after Shabbos, so that might be okay. But let's say you don't, right? Let's say it happens on Shabbos, right? You didn't do anything, but, you know, you're now committed to it, or maybe it did process, right? The money does go through, right? Or, you know, the, right, they download the music, right? So you didn't do anything. You did no Masa Kinyan, right? But it happened on Shabbos, right? So according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, if it happens on Shabbos, it's problematic. Now, again, that would not tell you it's problematic if you don't process it till afterwards, right? If they, you know, if you say nothing is processed after the weekend, you've solved that problem, right? Either way, right? You're not doing a masa, you're, you know, having your Shabbos meal, you don't know what's going on, and you're not, there's no chalos kinyan because, right, you've pushed it to later. But if things are processing on Shabbos, it would be a problem. However, we may not paskin that way. The Avnei Nezer notes that, right, this is not necessarily true. Because in general, right, there is a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. I'll say it outside. Now, he said, first he defends Rabbi Akiva Eiger and explains him, but let me just bring his critique, and this is how he rules in the end. He says, but wait a second. There's a machlokes in the Gemara Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai called Shvisas Kelim, which is, do you have to be worried that your vessels are going to do malacha on Shabbos if you're not doing it? Beis Shammai says yes. Beis Hillel says no. So he says, okay, it's very nice that Rabbi Akiva Eiger thinks that it's a problem to have a malacha happen on Shabbos. But we don't paskin that way, right? That's not, right? We don't care if the result happens on Shabbos. And the Achronim really divide on whether we do or don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rav Shechter likes to defend the Rabbi Akiva Eiger and say, well, it depends. It may be true that a malacha is an usser if you do it before Shabbos, but a gzera is usser even if it takes effect on Shabbos. Why? Because he said, think about it. If it's usher to do business, gzera shema yichtov, then what you care about is not when you do something, right? You care about anything related to that happening on Shabbos, because any, right, you know, if, even if it's going to take effect on Shabbos, and you're not doing anything, right, if there's a possibility that you will be aware that it's happening, you might end up writing something, right? So then we might have to forbid it. Okay, but there's a machlokes achronim whether we paskin like that or not. Now again, this only answers...
You're dry cleaning off Friday afternoon, and you know.
Well, no, that's well, we'll come to that, right? That's having a guy do something for you on that's having a guy do something for you on Shabbos, which is right. Is a meal nachri, which is another problem, right? Okay, so the first question: so if you, right, if the transaction doesn't actually take effect on Shabbos, so then this is not an issue. But let's say downloading music or something where everything is done by the time, right, by the time they put in their credit card information, even if you don't get the money yet, it doesn't matter, they're getting the product, the kinyan's totally done, right, at least the result of it is, right, you didn't do an action, but you know, so that for a Akiva Eiger, that's for sure a problem. According to Avnei Nezer, might not be, right, because the chalos kinyan happened, now there maybe the masa kinyan happened, I don't know if there is a masa kinyan, who knows what there is exactly with downloading you know, music. Yeah.
If you can set a timer to turn a light on Shabbos, where you're clearly doing sometimes ignoring Rav Malavich for a second, okay? Because let's not go there. But, you know, but you let's all agree that if you were flicking a switch, you're doing a malacha of some sort forbidden by most halachic authorities on Shabbos, okay? And you can, I'll pee most days, set a timer and turn on that light on Shabbos. then how is that any different when you're setting, effectively setting up a scenario where someone can go to your website and download music?
Right, so that's what the Avnei Nezer really says, right? The Avnei Nezer says, by Malacha, we don't care if the result happens as long as you don't do anything, right? So we don't care about this either.
But it's all set up in advance also.
Correct. He says it doesn't matter, right? That's exactly what Avnei Nezer says. He said, we don't, by Malacha we don't care, so why do we care, right? Why do we care by Kinyanim? Right, and that's why Rav Schechter said, well, maybe Rav Kinyanim thinks it's different. The Gzerot are different. Gzerot, we care about the result and not just the action. But, again, if you think like the Avnei Nezer, so a lot of internet commerce, right off the bat, from this level, right, pretty much, right, is not problematic, right? There's only a problem if you do an act, but you're not doing an act. It's happening, right? Whatever's happening, but you're not related to it. It's taking effect. It's doing whatever, but you're not doing a masa, right? If you poskin like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, might be problematic. But again, even according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I would say, well, it depends, right? If you're actually, right, if everything's processed on Shabbos, right, so maybe it's a problem. But if everything, right, if they don't, it's not processed till after Shabbos, and, right, they pay by credit card. So, right, what are they doing in Sacha Kol on Shabbos, right? They're committing that, your whatever, your website is committing to them that when the next business time comes, right, the credit card payment will go through and you will then process it and then you will send it to them, right? So
you're saying it could be a problem if you're processing and it goes out on Shabbos.
So if it processes on Shabbos, right, it might be a problem. That's why people say it's more problem with the music, right? It's processed after Shabbos, right?
Which brings up Amazon.
Right.
Amazon is because that.
And in the States, they ship same
day. Business, your product is by them. Somebody orders it.
And ships the same day.
They ship it for you right away.
Yeah, that could
be. And you get paid right away because your account is credited right away.
Right, so that could be a problem if you think halos is a problem. You might have done a masa, right? Right, so in that case, you might have done a masa. So if you think, right, again, so if you think like the Avnei Nezer, right, if you think it's the Avnei Nezer, it might not be a problem with business on Shabbos because you didn't do anything. But if you think like it could be the Eger, in that case, for sure, right, it's processed, it happened on Shabbos. You may not have done anything, but it happened. According to Kivei Eger, that's definitely a problem, right? That's like the music. Everything's being processed now. So that first question of when something's actually being processed on Shabbos, right, so according to the Avnei Nezer, it may not be a problem. You didn't do anything, right? Everything was set up before Shabbos, like Shavuos Kalim. We don't really care, whatever. According to Rav Eger, that would be a problem. Okay. Next issue, though, right? Because in the end of the day, even if you're going to be more machmir, this is limited to things that are really processed, right? If you just make the simple change of not having anything processed on Shabbos, you leave the website open, but nothing processes, right? So then, right, you've solved most problems, right, on this level, on the actual business level. Okay. What other issues? So yeah, we have a question? Okay. The next problem is Maris Ayin, okay, of sorts. This is based on Halachon Shulchan Aruch. This is not like an amorphous new one. This is a very old one, right? It's from a Gemara, but I'll just give you the Shulchan Aruch in 8. Now look at 8. And the Halacha is as follows. Lo'yasker adam merchad shelo lekuti. You can rent out a shower house to a non-Jew, b'nei nikra al shmo, right? And then have him, you know, work it on Shabbos. And again, he's not working it for you, right? I mean, you've rented it out. He's not working for you. You've rented it to him. He's now just, you know, he's getting business. He's, you know, he's the, whatever, he's the renter, right? That's what he's doing. You can't do that. Why? Shnikra shmo, because everyone knows it's yours, right? And even though you're not technically violating anything, you're not doing business, it's called yours, right? It's, whatever, it's Chaim's bathhouse, right? You know, this was his parnas of the last few years. He's made enough money, he doesn't need to run it anymore, so he rents it out to, you know, and he gets, you know, he's made enough money, he can live on the rental alone. He doesn't have to put in the long hours. But everyone knows it as Chaim, right? So now, it's a problem because it's Nikra al Shmo. The Kuti Zeh Osem Malach HaBeShabbos. This non-Jew is doing Malach on Shabbos. The Stam Merchot Blav La Rizusa. Perish Rav. And he says, why is it a problem? Because most bathhouses aren't rented out, right? Perish Arutua Ovid Likach Chelak Mimenu Meshesh Bech Labaylev Ovid VeAmri Shekol HaRevach SheYisrael. So everyone will just assume that he's not the renter, that he's your worker. So it'll seem as if this non-Jew is working on your behalf.
And
Ah, so what's the...
So if you see that on Shabbat, it's not your place.
Exactly. So what we see here, and we'll see this in just a moment, is that the post can assume that it's based on Mara Zion, which is what it sounds like. That there's a technical prohibition of Mara Zion of making it seem as if you're doing work on Shabbos, right? Or work is being done for you on Shabbos, right? So this should be a problem on a website, right? Even if it's mutter, if it seems like work is being done on Shabbos, and everyone looks at this and says, oh, right, B&H's website is open on Shabbos, it's a problem. Except there's a very easy solution to that, right? Which is if that's a problem. So in the Merachatz, all you would do is say, right, cross out Chaims and say, no, put up a sign and say it is, you know, whatever's. It's whatever's Merachatz. And on an internet site, all you gotta do, right, and this is what some websites actually do, is just say, right, not even necessarily from, right? From websites will sometimes do this, they'll come up and say, just know everything will be processed after Shabbos, right? Or after the weekend, right? But that's true on regular websites sometimes, right? They know, right? Everything's processed after the weekend. So if it's a problem with Mara Zion, you solve it by lifting the Mara Zion, right? All you got to do is make it clear that you're not, right, doing the business on Shabbos. Now, the first shailas of this type in the modern period didn't actually come up with the internet, right? There were two sort of earlier iterations of this type of machlokas. One was the kaspomat, or the bankomat as they call it, but the kaspomat now it is called, right? The from Jews who were asking that they owned, what's it called, an ATM machine, right? Do they have to close it on Shabbos, right? It's all happening automatically, but everyone knows, you know, Mizrahi is owned by, right, by from Jews, right? Or used to be, I don't know if it is anymore. And the second one was, the Minchas Yitzchak was asked about, what about a from Jew who owns vending machines? Right, same shaila, right? These are all basically the same shaila, right? They're all versions of the same shaila. So if you look at number 9, Uri Dasberg summarizes this issue. He says, "Yisodos shalisur shmol avu maras ayin." This is all based on maras ayin. L'chora k'shem sheperek before hareinu shenitan la'akher d'chashash l'vnei yivre l'zim v'chshal yidei hoda b'rasha uvrim v'shavim shim shalol avil mechona zu b'shavatot v'chagim. We'll come back to l'vnei yivre. Right, put up a sign and say, we leave this on because we know that someone might need money 5 minutes before Shabbos or 5 minutes after Shabbos, and that's why we don't close it, right? But, you know, have it flash on the screen, right? That, right? You know, either nothing will process, right? In the Kaspomat, things actually did process. You just say, we don't want you to. Right, so then it's not your problem. But on the internet, it's easier. You can just schedule it that nothing happens over the weekend, right? And have that flash up on your website, right? What if you own right? You know, in YU, right? There, YU owns the what's it called?
Laundry.
The laundry, you know, machines, and you know, so mostly it's used by YU students. But there's also, you know, some of the workers in YU might bring their laundry and put it in with it to close it because someone might come and, no, whatever, leave it open, right? Just put up a sign, right? It's not enough to put up a sign, it's enough to put up a sign, right? So, assuming that we think it is, you know, usser, which again, we said is not clear, but even if you assumed it was usser to do business on Shabbos if everything was processing on Shabbos, if you say, okay, well, let's let it process after Shabbos, you'd say, well, it's still a problem of Mara Zion. It seems like everything's happening on Shabbos. Well, that's not true. All you got to do is, you know, have a sign pop up that say nothing will process after the weekend. Or, since most things don't process over the weekend, right, maybe you don't even need this, right, unless it's Amazon and does process over Shabbos, and then I don't know what to tell you, right, because then it might be Mara Zion, right? It's normally, you know.
So in Kagim, you have to put down nothing will be processed over the next weekend.
Right, maybe, right? That might be what comes out. And in fact, that's, you know, I mean, like I said, right, B&H does that, right? Now, well, B&H actually does more, right? B&H closes Shabbos and Yom Tov. They don't close in Chol Moed. On Chol Moed, they have the non-process sign, right? They say the website will be open, but nothing will be processed for 8 days, right? Like, which is, you know.
But you can't have this neighbor, though. You got rid of
the... okay. So now we've dealt with the potential problems of Kinyanim. But now we said, okay, well, even if the Kinyanim aren't happening and you're just scheduling things, maybe there's a Mara Zion problem, right? But that seems to be solved simply by either putting up a sign on the website, right, that it pops up, or alternatively, maybe one could argue that maybe it's not a problem at all when the standard is that things don't process over the weekend, right? Now you'd have to wonder, right? It's not totally clear, right? Because that would be that's fine, I guess, in the summer where, you know, business hours end at 6, right? And Shabbos starts, you know, by the time Shabbos starts, so it's the weekend. In the winter, right, 4:30 on a Friday afternoon is still business hours. So, you know, there I'm not clear that you could just rely on the assumption that everybody knows nothing processed over the weekend, right? Because it's not the weekend quite yet. So, right, I mean, you could be like banks. What?
Are we saying that Yom Tov?
And Yom Tov would be the same as Shabbos, yeah. Now, of course, you could always be like Chase, right? You know, like, I don't know what it is in other banks, but I know my American banks, right? Things stop processing at 4 p.m., right? I don't know if it's all American banks, but Chase stops processing at 4 p.m. So you could just, don't ask me why, right? But you can't do anything on your, you know, nothing processes. You can go on your web, you can go on your online banking, do whatever you want, but nothing will happen until after 4 p.m., right? So then you can solve problems, because by 4 p.m. Shabbos, right, if you say nothing happens 4 p.m., nothing happens on weekends, so then, what? Yeah, exactly. He's like, 4, perfect, perfect. Okay.
They're open on Saturdays anyway.
Yeah, well, but, no, but like, yeah, I mean, everything's closed, whatever, the states, everything's closed Sunday.
Retail banking is open, physical banks, but the processing and everything doesn't happen until Monday.
Fine, but still, the banks are at least open in, you know, in the states, weekends, nothing, fine. Okay, so issue one is the question of whether it's even a problem to do the business. Even if you assume it's not a problem to do the business, is it a problem of Maris Ayin because it looks like a Jew is doing business? Right? So you might solve that simply by, you know, putting up a sign that fine. Okay. Now, the next issue is Schar Shabbos. It's okay. Let's say that the business, you know, let's say we solve the problem of the actual, right, the process. Like, let's say it does process on Shabbos, okay? It processes on Shabbos. But it's not going to be shipped till later, or whatever it is, right? But the payment goes through, right?
I have an issue with this laundromat that you brought up here. With all the landlords, the Jewish landlords, they have machines in their apartment buildings. Everybody does laundry on Shabbos. I guess that's the busiest day of the week is Shabbos. And they collect the money gets paid automatically. They collect the funds right away. It's coins operated or
right. So that may right. So that may relate to the first question, right? Which is that it might be I don't know a totsav a chalos kinyan without you doing a masa kinyan. It may be Maris Ayin, right? Maybe. The biggest problem is going to be the problem that we're going to do now, which is Schar Shabbos, right? What it seems clearly to be is whatever you think that is kinyan, not kinyan, Maris Ayin, not Maris Ayin. You're making money on Shabbos, right? That's the third potential issue you have with an interim being open on Shabbos. If something does process, you just made money on Shabbos, right? Right. Right. And this is a problem, right? Number 10. Asokar the Polish Mars, Apara, Lishmars, Ading, Lishmars, Azrai, Mays, Nozmo, Schar Shabbos. If you hire a non Jew, or you hire a Jew really, right? You hire anybody to work for you on Shabbos, you can't pay them for Shabbos. Lefichach, Ena, Chaya, Shabbos, Alav. Chaya, Schar Shabbos. But how do you get out of it? So how do we do this, right? So the simple way of getting out of it is we don't hire people by the day, we hire them by the week, right? It's called Havla'a, right? Shabbos is solved by a rule called Havla'a. It's only necessary to pay someone for Shabbos alone. But if you get paid for everything together, right, including things that happen during the week, so it's not a problem, right? That's called, that's why Schar Shabbos, Schar Chodesh, Schar Shana, etc. is all fine. Right, if you hire someone for a week, so they can work for you on Shabbos. That's why when we hire waiters in for events, we hire them for the setup and the cleanup before and after Shabbos, and we pay them all together. Right, that's how we do it. That's how we do it. It's called Havla. Right, this way we're not being paid. We're not paying for Shabbos alone. Fine.
Even though the rabbi works hardest on Shabbos.
Tell me about it. Not
in Bali Kriya, the only Shabbos.
Well, yes, and
the preparation.
Right, you will get That's you get paid forever. And in
if you're paying workers per hour, they won't do it in a second day.
Well,
you're paying them per hour, so some of those hours are.
It doesn't matter if you pay it all together; it's fine.
Like you
right?
pay them, you're writing a check for the
exactly.
Whole week.
You pay them right, meaning, or you just say we're not paying you just by hour; we're paying you for the whole work, which will take 12 hours, whatever. But you cast it as havla. And I gave you the next halacha, which is relevant in the next one, but we'll leave it at that, right? Havla. Now, how does that work for the internet? So this also is a bit complicated. Now, if the credit cards aren't processing till after Shabbos anyways, so at the end of the day, any payment that was made anyways, right, you get one big payment, right, on Monday morning, right? So then you're just being paid by Havlah, right? Could it theoretically be a problem if the payment went through on Shabbos? Does that happen in Canada? In the States, it doesn't. Does it go through?
No.
Does it go through?
Wow. Well, does it go into your account?
Does it go into your account? It does?
No, it doesn't.
So if it goes through on Shabbos, that would be a problem of Tzar Shabbos.
First of all, if you pay with credit card, it takes even longer, right?
For sure. I don't know. I don't know. If someone pays with debit card, on, I don't know, the debit on Shabbos, does it go through directly?
No.
No?
It goes through the processor.
It doesn't process here? Okay, so right, so what many of the post-kim...
When you process debit, it goes through right away. It doesn't record on your bank statement until the next business day, but the bank tracks it that it happened over the weekend because they have to check if the funds are there. Otherwise,
yes, yes, they don't swap it to your account until Monday.
That's because
the system is designed to print Monday because they don't show that they do business on Saturday and Sunday. But the bank, as far as the bank is concerned, they did the deal on Saturday.
Right. So here, so how would you solve this? Right. So again, anything that was. Everything that went through, right? So if this is true, right? If the money goes directly into your account, as soon as they do it with the debit card, so then, right? So if it's pending, so it's half law, right? If it's pending, it might. Okay, I have no idea how it works here, but if it's right, so here, so for sure on the credit card, for sure. So what many of the posts can say, if it's a credit card, it's basically half law because you get paid everything together. You get Friday, you get Shabbos, you get Sunday, you get everything together, right? On the other hand, right, if somehow it goes through directly, if that's the case, so then you might have a problem. How would you solve that? Now, if you just said it that. Your website doesn't process it till after Shabbos, so then you also right might be fine because then you can write you could artificially orchestrate it to be Havlah, right? But that's right.
What's the translation of the word?
To swallow. Right, Havlah is swallowing.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You just swallow everything up. Okay. We're already going late, so let's the next issue. Okay. Let's assume you've solved all these problems for a non-Jew. What happens, right? Let's say we've managed to solve all these problems. We assume there's no problem because you're not really doing anything and you push the payments till after Shabbos and, you know, whatever, and they're paying back. Let's assume we've solved everything. You put a sign that nothing's processing till after Shabbos, right? But you still leave the website open, right? You don't do the B&H thing that it closes, right? It's open and people can order, right? And now a Jew gets on the website and orders. Is that lifnei iver, right? Question four. So the answer is, almost definitely no, right? It's probably not. Not d'oraisa. The reason is because as Gemara says, "Nava d'zara, lifnei iver d'oraisa." Right? Biblical lifnei iver only violate what is called tre avrei d'nahara. Right? That if I have tre food, someone else wants it. If he's on the other side of the river, and if I don't hand it over the river, right? He won't, you know, or throw it over the river, whatever. He can't get it. I violate lifnei iver. If he could get it, and I just happen to give it to him. So even though I made it easier for him to violate the Yisr, I don't violate Lifnei Yisr, D'oraisa, the biblical prohibition. Now on the internet, you are not, right? He could order it, presumably from 100 different people, right?
It's not the case with tickets, though.
Right, so it's not always the case, right?
Your
right, so it's not, right, so it's not always the case. But, first of all, it's not Vad, right? First of all, it's a suffix. It's a suffix, right? If they could buy it somewhere else, so it's not lifnei iver, it might be derabanan, which is called misayeya, right? It's still also me derabanan to enable someone to do an avera. But here, so right, so here, even if it were lifnei iver, then you have to get in. Well, it's not really lifnei iver misayeya. It's a suffix that any Jew is going to come up, and it's a rov, and it's a bit, right? So it's right. It's probably not lifnei iver d'oraisa, even if you knew a Jew was coming to it. Maybe it is if it's the only place he could buy it. Right, best misayeya, but it's not vaday. It's a suffik misayeya, suffik lifnei iver. Right, so is that a problem? So many of the posts can say, no, that's really not a problem. There is a slight issue that the posts can bring up. This is not going to be a problem in. There's not a problem here. It's more of a problem in Eretz Yisrael. There is a position in Achronim that if the they would only be able to do it if another Jew helped them. So then it's usher. So let's say, right, there are 10, ATMs, right, and you leave it open. So it's not Lifnei Iver in America because they could go to all the other ATMs, and the other nine are open, are owned by non-Jews, right? But let's say all 10 were owned by Jews, right? So now you're not enabling them, but the only way they could get money on Shabbos is if a Jew would allow them to do it. So then some of the Acharim say that is Lifnei Iver, right? Again, in a that's realistically not a problem in North America. It's definitely, and it's not really a problem in a global world either, because, you know, there may have been a time, and that may be true for an ATM, but realistically, right, on a website, you're not talking about they can only order from you. You know, it would have to be, now, if it's something that only you have, so maybe it's a suffix Lifnei Iver, but still not a vada Lifnei Iver, because you don't know they're coming.
What about a charitable donation?
Right? And this is what? Right, similar, I mean, potential...
Charity has a special dispensation.
Potentially. if you look at 16, just to see the summary, the Tzitzel Yezer says in general, on the Lifnei Iver related issues, we're more makil if, in the, with the following four issues, right? He said, one, is it might not be prohibited when you're not, when you don't actually do anything, right? So in the internet case, right, it's not quite Lifnei Iver. Like Lifnei Iver, even if you were the only person who was selling it and you knew a Jew was coming, you still didn't do anything actively. So it may not be Lifnei Iver. Two, you're not 100% certain it's going to happen, so that may not be Lifnei Iver or Misayeya. It has to be when you know you're enabling someone to sin. Three, ironically, we're actually more lenient when we know someone's violating, but we know he's a Rasha. So if someone's a perpetual Machal Shabbos Varesia, we wouldn't care because you don't have to save them religiously, right? So...
Be
you know,
anyway.
So you, what you're looking for is someone who's not a Machal Shabbos Varhesia, right, which you could find, but still, you've now limited your category a little bit. You know, I'll leave out D. But the point is that Lifnei Iver, because of the Safek and because of the fact that usually they can buy from other places, Lifnei Iver, the Misaya, can be solved. So those are the potential issues. Now, as we see, none of them are open and closed, right? So there's a question of having a Maisa Kinyan, Totsa Kinyan, Chalos Kinyan, whatever on Shabbos, which is totally in Machlokas and depends on what type of Kinyan you have and what type of website you have, right? In certain cases, it might be problematic. In many cases, not problematic according to anybody. According to some cases, it's going to be a Machlokas. Then there's the question of taking money, which depends on when you're paid, right? If you're paid altogether, it's Havla. If you're paid specifically on Shabbos, then it might be a problem. There's a problem of Maris Ayin, which could be solved if you put up a sign. And there's the potential problems of Lifnei Iver, which may be solved by the doubt involved, etc. So all these things mean that, right, leaving it open on Shabbos is really complicated, right? And there's no simple answer. I gave you one attempt at it by Rishon LeDaikovsky in 17, just to summarize and bring it together, because now we're gonna, right? Well, so we'll end it, right? Right? He takes all the issues together. He says, what issues are there? So one is siula of the lovrei avera, right? There's potential helping that Jew to buy on Shabbos. So, right, he brings all the tshuvot about the vending machines, which is basically the same issue, and he says it's not a problem. Why? Because ein ba'alim osam davar. You're not doing anything. I'm just going to skim through it. Right, he says, and it's not clear. First of all, it's not clear you're doing anything else, because Rabbi Akiva Eiger says you can't have a kinyan happen on Shabbos. But Maram Sheikh says it's not true. And he says, besides, you're not sure it's going, you're not doing anything, and you're not sure it's going to happen. And for sure, if you just say, right, that it's not going to be processed till after Shabbos, so then they know that your website isn't allowing them to violate Isurim, so now you've solved that problem. So the Lifnei Iver thing, because of the doubt, can be solved, and if you put up on your website nothing's processed till after Shabbos, then even that's removed, because they don't even think they're violating anything. They know coming to your website they're not doing anything. I mean, they're already on the computer. That's not your problem, right? Coming to your website, it already says that it's a meaningless thing for them to do if they want to process on Shabbos, so that can be solved. And he says, again, definitely if you're selling something that other people sell, it's not a problem. If you're selling things that no one else is selling, so still it might not be a problem because of the sfeikot, because of the doubts involved. What about Schar Shabbos? So he said, well, that could be a problem, but you can solve it with Havla. And how can you solve it with Havla? So either nothing's processed till after Shabbos, the payment, but he adds another thing. Is the Nadav Yehuda says that women who went to the mikvah used to pay for going to the mikvah on Shabbos, but they pay after Shabbos. How can they do that? There's no Havla, right? They're paying only for having gone on Shabbos. So in those of you who just says no, there is havlah, because they're paying for two things. They're paying for going to the mikvah on Shabbos, and they're paying for the wood that they use to heat up the mikvah, right? And he said, well, that, right, that's no different. If I come into your house and you know, take a bottle of wine from you, I need it for my, you know, I need it for Shabbos, and I pay you back later, right? We don't talk about the money on Shabbos, but I pay you back later, that's mutter, right? Why? Because you're not paying for what happened on Shabbos. You're paying for the reality that you used something up, right? So Rav Dyakovsky says, well, if you're selling something, right, a hard physical object, you can always have havlah, because just like the Nehuda says, you could have havlah with the object you're selling plus whatever happened on Shabbos. So just say you're paying for, right? You're really paying for processing it and giving them the object, which only happens after Shabbos. So you could solve that later. So that is another way out of it. Maris ayin and chshad, as we saw, if it happens automatically, if you put up a sign, right, there's no problem at all, as we saw before. He notes that it might not even be a problem at all in this case, because he says, as you know, we mentioned before, Marsain's a bit amorphous. It could be that it was only a problem by the Merchatz case where something was actually happening. But if we conclude that nothing's happening on the internet, then there's no Marsain either. Meaning, you know, it's possible that there's Marsain even with no potential Isser. But if we conclude there was no Isser to begin with, then there's probably no Marsain either. And therefore he said there's room to be made on the Marsain. He notes that there is this amorphous thing of Zilzul Shabbos, but he's not sure that in this case it will be Zilzul Shabbos, because, you know, no one sees it, right? Like, on Shabbos you don't see anything, and no one, right? It's not like a public thing at all. It happens in the privacy of people's houses, so he's not sure there's any degradation of just having your website open on Shabbos. And there are Sof Davar, he says, this is the bolded part, Loni Tam Lasar Ashar Atar Internet Batuch B'Shabbat, Ulam Yesh Bekam B'Vadai Tam Lifgam. He says, I can't say it's Asar, because I could solve every single problem. I could tell you that the kingdom's not really happening on Shabbos, and I can tell you that you're being paid Bavlon, and I can tell you there's no Maris Ayin, it's not really Asar, or you put up a sign, and I can tell you that it's not really Zilzul Shabbos, and tell you it's not Livnei Iver, right? Each of the problems that we saw is a machlokes, and can be pretty decently solved, especially if you push off payment and processing after Shabbos. According to almost everybody, you've managed to get out of the issues, right? At least there's a strong basis for it. So he says, well, halacha, I think this is what most poskim say, which is it's probably not technically usher, right? Because, or at least there are, geisha malizmach, to leave it open, there are shita that under certain circumstances that it would be usher, right? If you poskim and give eger and things are processed on Shabbos, it probably is usher, at least according to some poskim. But as he says, you can't usher it, because each problem, as we saw, has enough room for leniency that you can be makil, but also, at least in some of the issues, there's room to be machmir, right? And therefore, as you said, yesh tam lefgam, so some poskim will push against it. If you look around poskim, some will take a hard line, and all of them say it's usher. Some will say, no, there's enough room to be lenient, there's no problem at all. And some people will take this middle position, will say, each of them is a bit unclear, so it may not be the best thing, but there's definitely room to be makil, you know. Again, we don't posket. I'm not posketing, but I want to just describe the complexity of the shalom. You see how many mini questions go into figuring it out, both in terms of figuring out how exactly your website works, and then figuring out the halachic categories and applying them to the reality is very, very complicated. But this, at least, I hope, opened the discussion to understand the issues that are going on when poskim are even talking about the question. Yeah.
So, question in terms of, you know how there's deals all the time? So would there be an idea of Livnei Iver if there's a deal that ends on Shabbat, for instance, that might cause somebody to go to your website because they know the sale is about to end?
Oh, or yeah, that's an interesting question. I would think for a from Jew, that's a problem. Right now, I will note that some of these, this is all leaving your website open on Shabbos.
I'm just wondering
right.
about.
So all these are really your website on Shabbos. I'll just throw out one other issue. One other issue is not, let's say, your website, mm-hmm. But the other issue that comes up often, well, not so often, but could come up, is, let's say, if you entered an eBay, they always bring up an eBay auction, which ends on Shabbos. So you don't even know what's going to happen. Right. So there, right, that's a classic Rabbi Akiva Eiger question. The Maisa Kenyan, you did before, for sure. You put in all your information. The Chalos is happening when the auction ends, right? But you had nothing to do with it. That question seems to hang solely on the Rabbi Akiva Eiger question. If you pass on Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you can't have that happen. You are acquiring something on Shabbos. If you don't pass on Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there's no problem because you did your action before Shabbos. It just happened on Shabbos, right? That is a little bit more straightforward of what it depends on than your website, which has all the added things of being paid and, you know, etc.
Why is that no different than, let's say, you take your car on a Thursday into the garage, and the guy tells you he's going to fix it up in a week, and he does it on Shabbos?
So
you fix your car on Shabbos,
so
you don't know when
to do it. This is when the auction ends on Shabbos. That's what I'm saying. If the auction ends on Shabbos, it's going to happen on Shabbos.
You mean that you don't know when the customer will
No, buy. Correct. So the general rule there is you can't bring in, you know, your suit to be cleaned on, you know, Friday afternoon and say, I need it by Motzei Shabbos, right?
Right?
You could bring it in on Friday and say, I need it by Tuesday, because you don't know when they're going to do it. Or you could bring it in on Thursday and say, I need it by Sunday, because maybe they'll do it on Thursday, right? The general rule is you can't have someone do something for you on Shabbos. You can set it up and they can do whatever they want.
But I can set up my website in the same
No, way. Right. So this that's why
I
specified. Right.
So
that's why I said, right, most of what we talked about was when, you know, your website, where you have to deal with the problems of when things are processed and the like. The auction case is when you're buying and you know that if you win, it'll take place on Shabbos. That seems to hang totally on the question of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, or not. If you hold that you can't have you can't acquire something on Shabbos. You acquired it on Shabbos. You won the auction, right? And then everything goes through, and you now own it. And right, if you think like Davni Nezer, that doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter, right? Okay.
How do you deal with
Elias
on Shabbos?
Stuck. It's a commitment. It's a neder. It's a stuck. Yeah. Okay. I think we should stop and daven Maariv because we did our hour, and then okay.